Sing them over again to me.
Welcome to the Words of Life program. Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers contribute to and pray for this long-time radio effort. Today, Brother David Johnson will tell us how the Apostle Paul expressed heavy concern for his fellow Jews that had not yet become Christians. He used the words, "I have great sorrow." The scripture verse for this is found in the letter to the Romans, chapter 9, the first three verses. We now worship our Lord with song.
When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountains grander, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin.
Then sings my soul.
Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration.
nation and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Have you read the story of the cross where Jesus bled and died, where your debt was paid by his precious blood that flowed from his wounded side? He died of a broken heart for you. He died of a broken heart upon a tree for you. For me, he died of a broken heart. Have you read how they placed a crown of thorns upon his brow for you? When he prayed, forgive them, oh, forgive, they know not what they do. He died of a broken heart for you. He died of a broken heart upon a tree for you. For me, he died of a broken heart. Have you read that he looked to heaven and said, 'Tis finished, 'twas for thee? Have you ever said, I thank thee, Lord, for giving thy life for me? He died of a broken heart for you. He died of a broken heart upon a tree for you. For me, of a broken heart.
Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we honor you with words of praise for your holiness and love. Please use the words of this program for your glory and not for our own. Father, some of the listeners that we have today are suffering with health issues or other concerns, and some are discouraged. Please bless each one and meet their needs. We are especially concerned for each one who would know Jesus as Savior. Lord, there are persecuted Christians throughout the world who are faithful to you. Bless them with strength and faith and your protection. And when Jesus returns for his church, help us to be ready for him. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Hallelujah, praise Jehovah, from the heavens praise his name. Praise Jehovah in the highest, all his angels praise proclaim. All his hosts together praise him, sun and moon and stars on high. Praise him, O ye hymn of heavens, and ye floods above the sky. Let them praise his dear Jehovah, for his name alone is high. And his glory is exalted, for above the earth and sky. Let them praises give Jehovah, they were made at his command. Them forever he established, his decree shall ever stand.
sounded from the earth. Oh, praise Jehovah, all ye floods, ye dragons, all fire and hail and snow and vapors, stormy winds that hear him call. Let them praises give Jehovah, for his name alone is high. And his glory is exalted, for above the earth and sky.
Using Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 3, Brother David Johnson will now present a sermon entitled, I Have Great Sorrow.
Thank you for listening to these Words of Life broadcasts as we share the Word of God. The title for the lesson is, I Have Great Sorrow. And our primary text is taken from the Roman letter, chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. Please listen to the Word of God. I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it in the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow, an unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, those of my own race, the people of Israel. This is the Word of God. When I was in my 20s and an agnostic, I remember I was on the LSU, Louisiana State University campus, changing a flat tire on my car, when a young man came up and pitched in to help me. As we worked, he witnessed his faith to Jesus Christ to me. He shared Christ personally and plainly, how Christ had saved him and was now the Lord of his life. He asked me if Jesus was my Savior and Lord. This young man struck me with his concern, his compassion for souls. For many of us, including myself, one-on-one witnessing to someone we don't know, a stranger, can be difficult. I fully understand that. But the deeper issue we should also ask ourselves is, do we really care about others' eternal souls? How much concern and compassion do we have for those about us who we suspect or even find out are outside of Christ? Let's consider a flesh and blood example. Paul passionately exclaimed in Romans chapter 9, verses 2 and 3, I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, those of my own race. Obviously, Paul had immense concern for his fellow Jews outside of Christ. His compassion for souls was most unusually great. But what about you and me? How much real compassion for the lost do we have? Even though Paul knew it was impossible, he offered to take their punishment if that could save them. Who does that remind us of? That's exactly what Jesus Christ did do and could do by his perfect life and his blood when he came to this world and became one of us, that he did do to save those who would receive him by faith. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. But Paul could not be a substitute for his Jewish brothers. He too was a sinner. Only Jesus Christ could be that sinless substitute. Only Jesus Christ saves. Nevertheless, Paul wrote of his great sorrow and unceasing anguish for the lost, those without hope, those without Christ. How often do we think that way? Do we feel some sorrow, any anguish for someone we come into contact with that at least we suspect is not in Christ? I'll admit That person that witnessed Christ to me didn't lead me to Christ on that occasion. He even irritated me a bit. But I still remember him some 40 years later. I don't remember his name. I don't remember his face. I don't remember his helping me specifically about what he did when I was changing the tire. What I do remember was that he cared about my soul. How many people do you know like that? Like the Apostle Paul, with unceasing anguish and sorrow for the lost. That young man who witnessed Christ to me planted a seed, a thought. What am I going to do about Jesus? That's all God asks of us. He will do the rest. Consider this. Right now, I'd like you to mentally think of someone you at least suspect is without Christ or backslidden. A real person, as we interactively continue with he or she in our mind, in your mind. Someone we need to reach out to with the gospel that we suspect is lost. Someone we already know, not a stranger, but instead a family member or friend. Usually, we're genuinely concerned about a person's physical well-being. If they are hungry or thirsty, we would meet their need, wouldn't we? As Christians, we probably know that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." We should know that apart from Christ, no one can have righteousness that saves. Romans chapter 10 and verse 4 says, "Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes." That is, genuine faith in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord alone brings the righteousness that God accepts. So what's the point? Concern for physical needs are usually met without a lot of hesitation. Of course, all physical needs in the long run are temporary. But what about spiritual needs? Why do we hesitate? As with the young man that witnessed his faith in Christ to me, he just planted a seed. It's God who makes it grow. We all need to be more concerned, have more compassion about those not in Christ. Because it's forever. It's not a temporary issue. It's an eternal destiny. We need more compassion. We witness also for Christ's sake because he committed it to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19 and following says in part, "He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us." All accountable human beings need reconciliation or a right relationship with the living God. And that's only through repentant faith, obedient faith in Christ Jesus. Surveys and statistics prove over and over again that a person-to-person friendship evangelism is the most effective witnessing application. A Christian that really cares, who is concerned about a person's eternal soul, will tell them about Jesus, that Jesus saves. But how? Say a silent prayer for God's guidance and simply share your own personal story. The why and how you became a Christian. What Jesus did and what he continues to do for you. What they need to do to receive Jesus as their personal Savior and Lord. Some say, "But I'm too shy." The answer to that is, shy Christians witness shyly. God doesn't expect us to change our personality, but he still expects us to witness. And we can witness in a shy way. "But I'm not gifted that way." Sharing Christ is not a spiritual gift. It's a commission to all Christians to share the good news of Jesus Christ. But I'm always rejected in my witness. It's not about our success. It's about our seed planting. If they reject, actually it's Christ they reject, not you. We are His ambassadors. We represent Him. My Christian lifestyle is my witness. Great, but passive witness is not enough. We need to actively tell a person about Jesus. We need to communicate it verbally, personally. Years ago, Japan flooded America with a new ballpoint pen. Perhaps you recall it was referred to as Pentel, the Pentel pen. After 1 year, they had 1.8 million sales of this pen made by Pentel in Japan. The amazing thing was they relied primarily on word of mouth. People testified to people about Pentel pens, and the word got out. The living word is Jesus Christ. And we need to get the word out that Jesus saves. But today it's tougher, some say. It's always been tough in this fallen world to witness, to evangelize the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, who became one of us, God-man, born of a virgin, who came to this earth and lived some 33 years and died on a cross, crucified, and yet was raised from the dead, as vindicated, as God the Father accepted Jesus' perfect sacrifice on the altar of the cross. As John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world." Consider the tough obstacles of evangelism at the beginning of the church age in the first century AD. Paganism and idolatry were widespread. There were no church buildings. There was no written New Testament. Slavery, sexual immorality, cruelty and callousness for human beings was rampant. Most people, especially Gentiles, were illiterate. They couldn't read or write. Communications and travel were primitive and dangerous for the most part. Yet faith in Jesus Christ multiplied and spread from Asia into Africa and Europe. Well, how could this happen? With God, all things are possible that are according to His will. Moreover, the first Christians yearned to represent their Lord as His ambassadors. The first Christians had great sorrow and unceasable anguish about those not in Christ Jesus. The first century AD Christians had the compassion that is necessary to freely and openly evangelize, testify, witness to those without Christ. These simple Christians didn't rely only on a preacher or a program or even their own passive Christian lives. They actively engaged in the most effective system of evangelization, and that is a personalized tell a person about Jesus witness. So how about that person we have mentally chosen to tell about Jesus? Perhaps a family member, or a friend, or a neighbor, or yes, even a stranger. But that person that you've already thought about that needs Jesus, will you tell that person about Jesus? Today, tomorrow, soon? Do you have compassion for his or her eternal soul?
We gather
He joins us here, he breaks the bread. The Lord who pours the cup is risen from the dead. The one we love the most is now our gracious host. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord.
We are now a family of which the Lord is head. The one sing, he meets us here in the breaking of the bread. We'll gather soon.
As you can understand from Brother Johnson's sermon, becoming a born-again believer in Jesus is of utmost importance. If we can help you in your decision for Jesus, please write to us. You can receive a free recording of this and next week's program by asking for broadcast number 2049. That's 2049. We look forward to hearing from you, and may God bless you. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.
Sing them all.